In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 35 through 40, we know that this lawyer comes up and he asks Jesus a question as a test. And beginning at verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now Mark's account adds the word strength, as does Luke's. And they're quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 that says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So if I were to tell you that I was going to improve my overall well-being by eating healthy and exercising, everybody would understand what that would mean. I wouldn't have to say, "I'm not going to eat this, I am going to eat this, I'm going to do these exercises." If I just stick to those two things, you know that after a while I'm going to be a lot better off. So this man who asked Jesus the question, he's a first century Jew reared under the old law. And so we will look at this from the perspective of the Ten Commandments, and considering you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not have any, make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the Lord name of the Lord in vain. And remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." Well, if you're a first century Jew and you're sticking to loving the Lord your God with all that you are, then you couldn't do anything other than those things. You would not consider having any other gods. You wouldn't worship in a way that was not prescribed by God by carving out graven images. You certainly wouldn't casually throw the Lord's name around, and you would remember the day that He set aside to keep holy. Now moving on to the next six commandments. "Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet." Now if I'm loving my neighbor as myself, I would not sin against my neighbor. And with regard to some of these, I would not put my neighbor in a situation where he or she would sin, or that I would sin against them. Any analysis of love usually makes its way through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to spend the remainder of this time. And this can be broken down into three sections. The first three verses are the necessity of love. Verses 4 through 7 are the characteristics of love. And the remaining verses 8 through 13 talks about the perseverance of love. So starting in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So I can have the ability to preach and teach. I can convey the gospel in a way that nobody else can. I can have these spiritual gifts, and I can give all that I have physically. But if I don't have love to back that up, it's all worthless. I can praise my kids all day long, but if they don't know that I love them, then I'm just making noise. As an illustration, before we go through verses 4 through 7, most of us have seen, well, we've seen a rainbow, but if you consider a prism that was sitting here and we shine a white light through it, on the other side comes out all the colors of the rainbow. It breaks up the white light into its component parts. So too, if you shine the love of Jesus through a Christian, you will see it broken down into its component parts. And it looks very much like verses 4 through 7. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things." In Galatians chapter 5, when we read about the fruit of the Spirit, it pretty much mirrors this passage. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. In the remaining of the chapter, verses 8 through 13, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, the greatest of these is love. So Paul is talking to the first century Corinthians, and spiritual gifts are still very prevalent. And they covet these gifts, but he's telling them, when that which is perfect, the Holy Word of God, has come in its fullness, then all of these shadows will go away. But the things that will endure are faith, hope, and love. And of course, the greatest is love. So we ask ourselves, what does this mean to us today here at Eastside? And to put it simply, we are to love one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Romans 13, 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. It says to love your enemies. That is a hard one for a lot of us. And sometimes it takes a level of maturity that you can look at the world and say, you know, I know these people have something against me. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I think I usually say this, but know this, when I get up here, my primary audience is myself, because there's not a topic that I could cover from Holy Scripture that does not need improvement in my life. The first time I ever got up here, I had said that you can know that you're loved and not hear it. You can hear that you're loved and not know it, or you can ideally hear it and know it. I have never found a lack of love in the Lord's church, but sometimes we struggle with showing love. We need to work at showing our love towards one another, because we don't love each other for material or physical gain, but we do it for a spiritual gain. When I got to the point where I knew that I loved the woman that would become my wife, I wanted to spend as much time with her as I possibly could. And if I didn't have to work, it would be every waking moment. And if people would know how much we love them, then Wednesday and Sunday evenings would look very much the same as Sunday mornings, because nobody would want to miss out. They would know that there's love in here and it abounds, and they would not want to be apart from that fellowship. Knowing that we are loved comforts us, but hearing that we are loved reassures us. And my family would attest to this, that I often have a hard time showing my love for each other, for people. And I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and I love all of you exactly the same. I love Christians all over the world who I will never meet this side of heaven. I love those who are lost. And as Christians, the more we mature, the easier it becomes to love. But sadly, we sometimes have a hard time showing that love. There's a song we sing, it's probably near the back of the book, I hear it at camps a lot, God is Love. And that comes in part from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and also from 1 John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. As it says here, God's love is manifested in the fact that He sent His Son to die for our sins and to purchase the church with His blood. At this time, the Lord's invitation remains open to anyone who would love God, who would love His Son, and would obey the gospel. By obeying the gospel, we know that the gospel must be heard in order for us to gain faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. We must turn from our past sins. We must confess Jesus as Lord as He would confess us before the Father in heaven. We must submit to immersion in water in baptism for the remission of our sins, that we would walk in the newness of life. If you're already a child of God, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, and you're here and you've done those things, and you have a sin of a public or private nature, and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, if we can help you in any way possible, please come forward as we stand and sing.